on Tuesday, the 3rd of September. Tonight's regularly scheduled city council meeting is called to order. We kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Mike Bruno?
Here.
Don Cummings?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Dean Kilburg? Audra?
Here.
Jim Marx?
Here.
Tom Simonian?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
Here.
We have a full house today, and majority of the house is in orange, which is appropriate for Hunger Awareness Month. Thank you all. This will probably hurt the cameras at home, so they'll turn down your sets probably. We begin tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I would kindly like to ask the man in black, Mr. Joe Stanton, to please lead us in the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Joe. Let's see. Amendments to the agenda. Any amendments this evening? Item number 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be considered and acted upon with one motion.
So moved.
Motion
second.
By Alderman Bruno, second by Alderman Vogelsberg, donning her orange. Mr. Singer, you have no orange in your wardrobe?
He does.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, you have orange on you? There, look at that.
Little tan.
That's a post-it note.
I'm sorry I'm not dressed in any orange.
The post-it note does the
clothing, but my wife is Irish.
Well, the orange,
and we have
Northern
nothing
Ireland.
Orange in the household.
That, well.
She won't even buy oranges.
No kidding. What's your post-it note say? Be at council meeting on Tuesday? We have a motion and a second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilburg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marx?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
The omnibus agenda passes unanimously. We jump down to item number 10, municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our clerk to read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $1,096,722.46.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual invoices that add up to that total can be found in the packet on the city's website, the packet for tonight's meeting.
Second.
Motion to pay the bills as presented and available on the city's website, and the individual invoices in our packet is offered by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Flanagan, also donning orange. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Arthur Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilburg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marx?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item 11A is to consider ordinance number 2013-30, amending Geneva City Code related to special event approval and policy procedures. Processes. Sorry, folks, my eyes are shut tonight. It's all the orange in the room. Alderman Vogelsberg
second.
Makes the motion. Alderman Cummings, who just turned 50, makes the second. I think you look good. Chuck? Questions or comments? Alderman Simonian.
After rethinking Alderman Brown's comments last week, I think he has a point, and I think that maybe we can, kill two birds with one stone here, is maybe we can enact this, but also announce them at our meetings so that gets some publicity to support the cause. So I don't know if we can add a piece to the motion that says we also announce those at some point in time prior to.
We certainly can do so, and of course broadcast through our electronic mail and our merchant broadcast that I know Paul coordinates, and that's primarily who this would affect, I suspect.
But I think Chuck was talking about here at the meetings when we vote on it.
No objection at all.
That get some additional visibility.
I'll have Mary comment, then Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just going to say that most recently, as you all know, we hired a communications coordinator. So this is a new position. But because of that position, we have been communicating a lot more about all of our events. And today, just today, he sent me some information about the new followers on Twitter. An additional 70 people are following on Twitter, and additional 60, I think, on Facebook. So he's picking up a lot of followers, and not that we don't have a lot watching public access TV. I'm sure that we do, but we are making a point to get the information out, to advertise that on the city website, in Geneva Mail, on Twitter, on Facebook, on our information line. So we use all venues as much as we can to get the information out. So I don't think that we're going to lose a lot by not, you know, having the ordinances come through, or the formal requests come through. And obviously we can always mention the events as well here. But it would not, I think it would not be part of the ordinance that we're proposing. That's okay. More of an informal suggestion, I think, that you're making, as opposed to the formal ordinance.
Well, just that it, Alderman Brown, and I somewhat think, you know, for all maybe three people that are watching, you know, if two of them find out about something and it might impact them, is there a way to, you know, like I say, kill two birds with one stone? I'm okay with this, but just have a, you know, formal, hey, this is what's happening this weekend as a part of our meetings.
Well, we do also, in addition to televising these meetings, we do also put text on public access about our upcoming events. So those events are rolling across the screen, you know, as well. So they are on public access, you know, so.
But when they're rolling across the screen, they don't have our pretty pictures behind them. Mm. You know, they have a picture of a siren or whatever, and, you know, everybody loves our faces.
I won't comment on that, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Just a thought, for whatever it's worth.
Anyone else? Alderman Brown?
Yeah, I will continue that comment by saying that the point I was trying to make is that I believe there is usefulness in getting the people to come here. Every once in a while, somebody wants to stand up, talk, give us some more information that's not just in the line item. And for the amount of time it takes to put the line item on the agenda, and for the amount of time it takes us to sit here and listen, I think that kind of publicity, even though we're using all the new forms of publicity, that doesn't mean we should throw out the old ones. Some of these people, it's their first time. As long as I've been on the council, we've been trying to encourage people to come to council meetings. I see tonight we have a completely full house. No, not quite. We've been trying to encourage people to come to City Hall, and the present administration under Mayor Burns has done a particularly good job at that. I think there's more people have passed through City Hall in the last 8 or so years than have in the previous history of this City Hall, maybe. And this is just another event that helps people come. They get their chance to stand there for 2 minutes and tell us about their event. I'm willing to sit here and listen, and I'm willing to invest enough staff time to put it on the agenda so we do get to listen to it. And as I say, although we're investing in all these new forms of communication, and I do know a lot of people see us on Channel 99 and Channel 10 now, and the Twitters and the feeds, everything else, it's a different group of people that are watching us. I think it's an older group of people that are watching us on TV at night that they tell me they see me on TV. I take that as a
threat.
Not a threat, but just it's a statement about how bad TV is. After clicking through 999 channels, they lend on one that looks different and interesting. But anyway, I believe it's a different group of people, and just because we're trying to use as many new means of communication, I feel a little bad about throwing out this old one. I've seen a lot of people come here for the first time and present their group, whatever their group is doing. I've learned from it. And I think some people on TV have learned from it, too. I hate to see this go, and that's why I will vote against this. Thank you.
Mary?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just thinking, I think that we're talking about two different things. We're talking about amending the ordinance so that we can expedite the request to administratively approve that. They're not mutually exclusive. That doesn't mean that the Lions Club or the Rotary Club can't come to the meeting. Of course they can. And I think that it behooves us to invite them to come to the meeting, even if the request is not a formal request, which does take staff time to write that up. But if that's not being done anymore, there's no reason that we can't invite them to come and advertise their event and speak to the council. I think that that's a great idea. But the ordinance is something, you know, again, that can be done administratively to help, I think, the events get scheduled a lot faster as opposed to waiting a week or two to come before Committee of the Whole and then City Council. But we would be happy to invite all of those organizations to come and speak to the council and advertise their event.
Now, then I agree. I mean, I agree completely with Alderman Simonian that maybe there's a way where we can, on the application form, have a line that says, would you like to present this to the council? That may involve a slight delay.
Well, we can just ask the question.
Do it. I didn't see it in the listing of the ordinance here. I didn't see such a thing. But I would like to see it not just as an option, but an option that we are required to give them that option. So that if indeed, and it's not just a matter of asking them, it's a matter of saying, you have this right, you have this ability if you want to make this presentation at the council and have them check yes or no. You know, it's one of these things, when asked, people will say yes, but if you don't ask them, Alderman Flanagan knows all about this. You can't get people to volunteer without actually asking them aggressively, do you want to do this? And people, well, yes, of course I do. So I think that there's this, we want to make this option obviously available to them, because I think it's a useful thing for many groups, and it's a useful thing for many peoples to get their first chance to come into City Hall and stand in front of the microphone. And it's amazing how many people are afraid to do that. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I kind of echo Alderman Brown's request about putting it on some form or something. I don't even know if it's on there right now because
we just made up our own forms for our own organization. I mean, we can ask the question.
Okay.
You know, it's not an issue really. We can ask.
Okay. But I think it's important. I think it is important for them to be welcomed, because
absolutely,
I think that it's the podium seems to be a threatening place to stand, but it's really not that bad. So.
Well, even under the present system, some people choose not to come, but
sure,
not very often.
Alderman Malaja, then Alderman Vogelsberg.
So I appreciate everything everybody's saying, but when I think about what we're doing, we're talking about events that are sort of self-contained, right? So an event at Peck Farm or an event at the Kane County Government Center or something like that. And as I look back, I don't recall any of those events coming to speak to us anyway. So we're making a lot of noise about something that I'm not exactly sure the event participants are at all concerned about. Allowing administration to approve an event, I also don't understand how that is saying that an event organizer is precluded or prohibited from asking to address the council. So I'm just looking at it differently. I don't think these people, I don't think I see a huge rush of people saying, you know, let me go to City Council and talk about my event. I think they want to come get their approvals and skedaddle out of here. So that's just my take on it. I appreciate all the, you know, feel-good aspects of having people come and address the city, but there's nothing about this process that precludes that from happening. And I don't get making an ordinance that says, you know, we welcome you with open arms when we welcome you with open arms as a rule anyway. Sorry.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. I was going to say something similar, just on the other side of, as somebody who has planned events, the getting the date and the location is key for everything else to fall into place. So if I knew there was a process that was going to speed it up by a few weeks, I think that that's pro the organization, knowing that they can come anyhow. But I definitely think the faster you can get approval so you can get all your other ducks in a row is better for the organization.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't disagree with having the process being speeded up. I just think that the public or the organizations are missing their opportunity to advertise, because it's like free advertising. So I mean, if they come to the podium.
But they still can.
Yeah, but they still can.
But I guess I'm saying, I wouldn't want to have to. If I would want to, but I wouldn't want to have to wait 2 weeks. I wouldn't want to have to.
I suggest that in the application, but not in the ordinance itself, that language be included that invites all organizations to make a presentation for publicity purposes. Because oftentimes we'll do that. We had Wendy Dwyer here not too long ago regarding her program, and oftentimes the press is with us, and they might find an interesting story on there, so.
That's what I was kind of hoping.
I think that's all that's needed.
Okay. Are you comfortable with that, Mr. Brown?
Thank you, Mayor. I am.
Anyone else? Comments? Questions? Voice vote is sufficient. All in favor?
Sorry.
Anything else? Yeah. Roll call vote, apparently, Mr. Clerk, who's wearing his orange.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Tom Simonian.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Good discussion. Thank you. Item 11B is to consider authorization of Plan Commission public hearing on city amendments to consolidation of zoning board of appeals and plan commission to establish planning and zoning commission.
So move.
Second.
Alderman Singer makes the motion. Alderman Vogelsberg makes the second. Questions or comments on forwarding this matter to the Plan Commission? Alderman Singer, Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. David, we had a conversation earlier this morning, and I broached a number of subjects with you that I needed clarification, not essentially just for myself, but I have been, some queries have come forward to me that apparently at last Monday's meeting, there seem to be some misunderstandings as to just the direction that we are taking in this regard. So I have three questions for you. Question number one, why is this being done? The second question is, do you feel that this will create a more efficient product in its end? And then essentially, once this is passed, if it is passed, it will then go on to the Plan Commission for them to look at the issues, and when will that agenda, when will that be part of the Plan Commission's agenda?
Well, I think I can probably answer the first two questions together. I think the main driver behind this is we were looking at ways to improve the efficiency of our development review process. There are cases that go before the Zoning Board of Appeals or variations. Special uses, plan unit developments, those will go before the Plan Commission. Occasionally, a Plan Commission request will also require a variation. So that would require the applicant then to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals first, adding several weeks, sometimes a month, to the review process before going to the Plan Commission. More complex cases might also involve HBC review, which adds another few weeks to the process. And then the more we looked at it, we were looking at the history of our Zoning Board of Appeals cases over the last 5 years, and we noticed that they hadn't met in over 2.5 years. And when cases did come up, we were spending a lot of time trying to kind of rally the board together. We had some members that were new that had never heard a case. So we just started looking at ways to improve that process, and we did some surveys of other communities and found that 30 out of the 50 we identified have consolidated their commissions to improve their efficiency of the review process. So I would say that's the main driver. For plan commission dates, we've identified, I think, October 10th is the target date for the public hearing.
Well,
which
thank
would
you
then bring
that.
It back to the committee of the whole late October.
I feel that there's need also to have some clarification regarding this issue coming for the Plan Commission. It's got to be understood that this is a public hearing, and at that point in time, anyone in the community can come forward at that point in time and express their views whether they are a negative or a positive position that they may take. So I think it has to be understood that the issue is not finalized, even though we will vote presently this evening in a positive way. It does not essentially mean that it is finalized.
That's right. The request tonight is simply asking the council's authorization to move forward to that public hearing stage. And these are amendments to the zoning ordinance, so that does require the formal public hearing where everybody will be invited to give their testimony.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Brown, then Alderman Simonian.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I interpret the motion that was read tonight differently. It says to conducting a public hearing on the city code amendments. We don't have them in our pocket, but the assumption, and we actually heard it from Director Unsch last week, was that yes, they will be provided with the amendments that will accomplish combining the two. So these will be amendments to the ordinance, and indeed that is one of their jobs listed in the ordinance, is to have a first hearing on changes to the ordinance. The ordinance as stands, it is the policy of the city to have two boards. This is a policy decision to go from two boards to one. It is fine after the city council makes the policy decision to go from two boards to one to have the plan commission review the amendments that are the detailed amendments that are necessary to accomplish that transition. If I vote yes tonight, the way I read this, we are telling the plan commission to conduct a public hearing on the city code amendments, not on whether we should or should not, but to conduct a public hearing on the amendments in detail which are necessary to accomplish that change. It implies the policy decision has been made by the council. I don't feel I'm in a position right yet to make the policy decision because I don't believe we have discussed in council, and we certainly haven't done it with a sufficient notice to people, et cetera, that the city council was having a policy discussion as to whether we should change our policy. And there are two reasons why at the moment I have not been convinced that the two reasons I would like to keep the two commissions. One is I read in the current ordinance, the jobs of the two commissions, they don't overlap. And the second thing is, again, this administration and previous administrations have done a really nice job in getting as many people involved as possible in running the city. And this is another way for people to get involved. The fact that their business has dropped off after the recession, I believe the chairman of the zoning board when he got up, when he said, there's a really good chance that their business will go back up again. I sort of see it. Properties are beginning to move. Zoning questions are coming up. I've heard a couple in the last week from constituents. So for both of those reasons, I would like to see as many venues as possible for people to serve the city. And second, I believe their business is going to pick up again. I'm not convinced that it is good policy for the city at this point to eliminate the zoning board. And as I read this, this is the motion says, and I read it, the plan commission to hold a public hearing on the city code amendments for consolidation. The implication is that we've made the policy decision. They are being given the detailed code, which is what they do, and look at it. Maybe people get up, speak about it. Maybe they'll change some lines of the code. But the basic policy decision to eliminate the zoning board has sort of been made in the minds of those people on the commission, if I was one of them. So I believe that this motion should have said it is the policy of the city council to eliminate the zoning board, and hence we are authorizing the plan commission to conduct a public hearing on the amendments necessary to achieve this. If that was the way it was worded, which I think is the implication of what I see in front of me, I would vote against it because I have not yet been convinced that the policy is correct. Thank you.
Do you care to comment, or we have to be very careful, of course, not to hold the public hearing prior to the plan commission doing so?
But. Sure, and that was my understanding of this proposal, was that we were requesting the council's direction and authorization to draft the detailed code amendments that would be considered at a plan commission public hearing, which would consolidate the two commissions. And if we didn't receive that authorization, then it was the council's policy decision not to consider that consolidation.
Can I ask for a clarification, possibly from the city attorney? I believe whenever the city council in session considers any item, we are in sense holding a public hearing. we invite the public to comment every time we pass any motion, ordinance or otherwise.
No, there's a difference.
I understand there's a legal difference, but
this is a public meeting, it's not a public hearing.
It's a public meeting.
This public meeting does not necessarily require that you accept and receive testimony or evidence from anyone, whereas a public hearing, it's an invitation to the public and advocates on either side of the issue to present evidence in that forum. And then, in the case of a plan commission, it would be a recommending body. It's not the final arbiter of the decision.
A public meeting is, by ordinance, by state code, required to be published in advance. So in some sense, it's noted, the public is notified that there will be discussion on these items.
All meetings of a public body need to be open and given notice in advance under the Open Meetings Act, a state law, which we've obviously adhered to and adopted.
Thank you.
Well, I'm saying all meetings. I mean, it doesn't make any difference whether it's a hearing or a meeting. All meetings of the public body in which there's a majority of a quorum must be notified in advance.
Alderman Simonian?
Excuse me in advance for probably my ignorance, but I've experienced now in the last 3 or 4 weeks this whole plan commission process, and I have a question where a lot of this is stemming from is if a policy that the staff or the city council is directing to the plan commission, why do we allow the public to comment on any part of that? Because we saw it a few weeks ago with Site 6, and we had to stop the individual because now it got into a hearing state versus a comment. And then last week, I think we went way beyond. It got into, so the question I have is, if this process has to go through a process, why do we even encourage comment until, because the whole comment is at the public hearing space, mm-hmm. and then it comes back to us, they can come and comment after it comes back to us. Why do we even invite it to begin with? Because it caused a whole lot of, in both cases that I've been,
it's an excellent question. Theoretically and practically speaking, there should be no commentary on the matter to be discussed at the public hearing, because this recommendation tonight is simply to advance this for a public hearing. But as history will show, you know, there's oftentimes courtesies extended to people who do want to ask a question for clarification, what have you. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's the prerogative of the chair to either rule that individual out of order. The chair can be overruled in that regard, as we witnessed last week. But I agree with you 100%. Tonight's discussion should simply be, and I think Alderman Brown's question's a legitimate one, the construction of the motion, that's fine. But we should not discuss what most likely will be discussed, in my opinion, at the public hearing.
And I totally agree, too. What Chuck's talking about is what we should be discussing is the verbiage of how it's being delivered to the Plan Commission. But my question is why do we invite the public at any point this juncture to discuss our meetings prior to the public hearing?
State law requires that anyone who attends a public meeting has a right to speak at that public meeting. State law also allows for the chair of that public meeting to render a decision as to whether or not those comments are germane or out of order. So it's a pretty fine line, and it's a pretty unusual dance step.
Okay.
And I think because we live in a small community, we all know each other, we tend to side with, you know, let's be a little bit more liberal, if you will, in the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree with you that it concerns me that some of the great articulation is best reserved for that public hearing. And in the interest of full disclosure, this is not just a staff-driven initiative. I've been participating in this discussion for upwards of 6 months. And there's a lot more to it that I will be happy to share at a public hearing.
Yeah.
So, you know, by no means should Mr. Unch or Mr. DeGroote or anyone else be, it's too strong a word, accused, but it should not be assumed that they are the authors of this consolidation idea and or efficiency program. I accept full responsibility for that.
I'm not questioning any of that.
No, I know.
I'm just questioning the process. That process makes sense.
Yeah.
Let the process.
I agree.
Flow.
I agree. Malodra, did you have your hand up or no?
I did, yeah.
Okay, Malodra, then Vogelsberg.
So, I agree with Tom. Process, you know, process works. Process helps. Process helps us get through a lot of things. But what I'm bothered by tonight is, no offense, something that David said. The assumption held by a few of the people who contacted me is that by forwarding this to the Plan Commission, the council has already embraced the idea of consolidation. I cautioned all those people that's not the case. I said, perhaps incorrectly, that by forwarding this to the Plan Commission, we're beginning a discussion process that takes place within a certain confined space with rules and things that help that along. But you said tonight that it's staff's assumption that by forwarding this to the Plan Commission, we are saying we've changed our policy.
That you would be interested in exploring it in more detail with a full public hearing process.
That's good.
I've misspoke if that's what I said.
All right, so then I go back to I'll just revert to what I said last week. I think that we've never been afraid to explore things. And if the rules of this game are that exploration take place at the Plan Commission, then that's the way it ought to be done.
And it should be noted that once the Plan Commission holds its public hearing and it forwards their recommendation, whatever it is, to the Committee of the Whole, anyone and everyone who attends that Committee of the Whole will have a right to speak. Mm-hmm. It's not a public hearing per se, but none of us have ever said, we heard you already.
Right.
So. So the vetting process really does truly begin at the Plan Commission here.
I just wanted to make sure I was characterizing it correctly.
Every time I look at you three, it's like I'm in the mall at Orange Julius. like Alderman Vogelsberg and Alderman.
Thank you, Mayor. And that's a little bit of what I was going to say is the Plan Commission hearing just opens up the conversation. All sides are heard. And as opposed to a public meeting, the accurate transcripts are taken. So after the hearing is closed, those transcripts, word by word, can be sent for anyone to read and then make their own decision. Then the Plan Commission recommends, and then it will still have it come back to us as a final. So I think it's a perfect place to kick it off, to have the discussion and the, you know, the public hearing with the court reporter.
Alderman Flanagan.
I'm just trying to understand the concern that Alderman Brown has with the crafting of the wording of the motion. And I think the terminology when you say city-initiated code amendments implies that we have already initiated some sort of code amendments and we would like for the Planning Commission to hear those amendments. And that's my problem. And that's where I feel that the process is not exactly clear. And I don't know
I'll share an anecdote. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think it was, forgive me for not knowing the exact date, we forwarded to the Plan Commission recommendation to host a public hearing on, quote, redefining family as it relates to dwelling units. We all might have our own interpretation of what a family is, but the debate was nil. But staff's direction is to create, to compose, to construct, to put together thoughts on how we might amend our current code to either include, exclude, adopt, adapt, whatever, the definition of family. Now, that will be an interesting debate, to say the least. But, that's how I look at it anecdotally. So
that's how we're looking at it as staff. Direction to proceed with more detailed exploration.
Alderman Bruno, then Alderman Brown.
Well, most of my comments I can't say because that's they tend to want to be at the public hearing. But it seems like, we've got a got something that has merits in being discussed. I think we're spending a lot of time on, okay, should this have been framed a little differently? Maybe I've got opinions on whether there should be they should be kept separate, but I can't discuss them here. But I think we're getting a little too worked up over how this was framed. At the public hearing has the opportunity for that decision to be thumbs up or thumbs down, and that's where it's going to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Brown.
I just had a question, clarification here. The motion in front of us says that they will conduct a public hearing on city code amendments. I presume your department will actually codify certain amendments that you want them to conduct the public meeting on.
That's correct. We've started
identifying. They will not be holding a public meeting on the question of whether or not the zoning board should be eliminated. They'll be holding a public meeting on the code amendments that you have forwarded to them. And as usual, they will be considering specific amendments, just like they will in the case of the family. They will be looking at a specific amendment to code that the council has already approved as policy, but we're asking for clarification of that amendment. In this case, you're forwarding a complete new set of city code that's eliminating some sections and adding more, and asking them to comment on it, which is fine. And I'm sure they will find some problems and clarify them. But you are not asking them, or we are not in this motion, asking them to consider the question of whether or not the zoning board should have been eliminated. That's not in this motion. As far as I can see, we're asking them to look at a specific set of code amendments which we haven't seen yet.
Right. And we're requesting the council's direction to start drafting those amendments for the Planning Commission's consideration.
So this motion is a motion for your department to draft the amendments, then take them to the board and ask them to comment on them. But those amendments assume that we have already made the decision to eliminate the zoning board.
No, I don't think that's correct,
no.
Alderman.
That's what I was asking.
I think the difference here, two comments. The difference is a city initiated means maybe it's from a staff perspective. There are times when there is public initiated amendments suggested by members of the public on the zoning ordinance, for example. So I think city initiated doesn't necessarily connote that they are preordained by the city council. It's to have that public hearing, get a recommendation from the plan commission because they would be implementing a change in the zoning ordinance by having to take two functions. So I think that's part of the process here,
but
ultimately.
You're saying if there was a member of the plan commission who didn't agree with the policy of combining the two boards,
they could vote against it, and the recommendation would be a negative recommendation to the city council.
For all of the proposed amendments.
Correct. My second comment is based on I guess my experience here is that the city council is a legislative body, and I've always discouraged the city council to actively participate in public hearings before some recommending body, because that sends a message to that recommending body who's supposed to be taking in public comment and then making recommendations to you, the city council. And I would discourage testimony by individual members of the city council at that public hearing. You have your opportunity to digest, accept, or reject the recommendations of that body, that plan commission, when it comes here.
Anyone else on the dais on the matter to annex Batavia? Sure, you're awake over there, Simone.
Hey,
you live too close. That's
tell
right.
Your sister.
Any additional comments, questions, clarifications? Roll call will take on this matter, Mr. Clerk, if I may trouble you.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Day.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Nay.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
The motion passes 8 affirmative votes, 2 nay votes. This matter is now in the hands of Mr. DeGroot and his team to schedule that hearing with the Plan Commission. Thank you. According to my notes, we jump down to new business. Is there any new business this evening from anyone joining us in the audience tonight? From the dais, Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple items. 37th Annual Fox Valley Music and Storytelling Festival was held last weekend at Island Park. About 200 performers were featured, coming from more than a dozen states. The Fox Valley Folklore Society, the Geneva Park District, City of Geneva, and a great number of volunteers are to be congratulated for putting on this marvelous festival. We also should acknowledge the festival's founder, Joel Erlin, am I pronouncing his name correctly? Who was unable to attend due to his being hospitalized. We wish him well and a speedy recovery. Secondly, I attended a Kane County Sponsors Committee meeting held this morning at the Kane County Government Center Auditorium. It is on that committee that I serve as a council vice chairman representing the City of Geneva. And we are going to begin an additional cost in running the program and proposing a $1 increase per ride. The increase was voted on unanimously. The increase will begin as of the first of the new year. To give the riders some idea as to the reasons behind our needing of an additional cost is that in 2008, the riders were paying 15% of the cost of the ride. In 2013, riders are now paying 12% of the cost per ride. The dollar increase would bring the rider share of cost to close to 16%, closer to that first set at the program's inception. Inevitably, ride costs will continue to rise as drivers' wages increase, gas prices are increasing, and the cost to maintain vehicles are increasing. This information will be disseminated through a number of medias, both the city's webpage and through advertisements in the local newspapers as well. And so therefore the public as well as our riders will be notified in due course and plenty of time to understand. I've had a great number of conversations with many of our seniors who use this service, and they all are very comfortable and very pleased with the way in which we do serve our elders in this respect. And they all have indicated to me, please don't ever remove the program. And we don't mind an additional cost of, say, of whatever the fee might be. In this case, it's a dollar per ride. So the consensus is, I feel that the public is very much in favor of the direction that we've taken. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else from the dais? Alderman Simonian.
Thank you, Mayor. Which color do we wear next week?
plaid.
Wait for the cover email.
Thank you.
I do have one brief announcement. Many of you may already know, but I want those in the community to know as well, that the longtime owner and operator of the gift box, Leonard Johnson, passed away last week. The city flag is flying at half-staff in his honor. There will be a public memorial service to celebrate his life and commitment to the community in October. But Chuck and I were kibitzing earlier. I believe Mr. Johnson was involved with the gift box for some six decades. And as we all know, he was this year's Swedish Days Parade Marshal. And I believe, if history is correct, there's a iconic photo of folks dressed in their Swedish garb holding a Volkerman banner in a Swedish Days Parade from many moons ago. Those are folks from the gift box. So it's a long storied history on State Street. Good family. We send our thoughts to the Johnsons. So I just wanted all of you to know, in case you're curious as to why the flag is flying at half staff. Anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to closed session.
So moved.
Certain
second.
Closed session minutes to be reviewed, discussed, and released, and collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or representatives. Alderman Flanagan makes the motion.
So move.
Alderman Singer makes the motion.
I second.
Alderman Flanagan makes the second. A roll call vote is in order.
Buddy Flanagan.
Aye.
Gene Kilburg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marx.
Aye.
Tom Simonian.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Motion is unanimous. We shall return shortly.
There's action to follow.
There is no action to follow.
Oh, it is.
Correction. There's action to follow, releasing of some minutes. Yes.
Yes,
so
minutes.
We won't be long, I guarantee you.
Recycle this right here to
y'all. Yeah.
I already received it at home. I don't, and it's gone there too.
Yeah, I get it.
So am I. Oh, that's right.
You got two copies.
Anytime they win one.
Well, that was it. We were celebrating the victory this year. It gets a little harder from here.
The only time I turned on the game, it was before we got in there.
Joe, awesome. I missed you this morning. Were you there?
Today's Tuesday.
I'm sorry, this is Tuesday?
Yeah, I go Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Oh, what's time?
What the hell is going on?
You got 25,000 people there. I was there this morning.
It's not a good sign because it's all about.
You get about
how many people
you
have
come. Yep. Yeah.
Mayor, you need a motion to go back into open session?
So moved.
Wait for okay. Wait for the clerk to.
I didn't know.
Oh.
So we're going to need a roll call vote as well. So.
Oh.
Okay. Motion to return to open session is in
so
order.
Moved.
Alderman Flanagan makes
second.
The motion. Alderman Marx makes the second. And a roll call vote is necessary.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Gene Kilburg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marx?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
We are back in open session. Alderman Singer?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to ask the City Council to move to approving of the closed session minutes on this date of September 3rd, 2013, those being the partial closed session minutes on February 21st, 2012. The partial December 17th, 2012, the partial January 22nd, 2013, the partial January 28th, 2013, the partial minutes on February 11th, 2013, the full closed session minutes on February the 19th, 2013, the partial closed session minutes on March 4th, 2013, the full closed session minutes on March 11th, 2013.
Second.
And just to clarify, it is the release of those minutes as stated by Alderman Singer. The second is by Alderman Brown. Questions or comments? Roll call is in order. Mr. Clerk.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Gene Kilburg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marx.
Aye.
Tom Simonian.
I abstain. I wasn't here.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Thanks for reminding me. I abstain also.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
You're not going down with the ship, are you guys?
I have no idea what's going on then.
Motion passes with 8 affirmative votes, 2 abstentions. Any additional business? If not, a motion to adjourn's in order.
So move.
Second.
Alderman Bruno makes the motion. Alderman Singer makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Mics are off.